There is hope and there is healing in the power of Jesus' name. There is a way, there is a light, there is life in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be saved. He paid the price. This is the gospel. Of Calvary. There is a way, there is a light, there is life in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be saved. He paid the price. This is the gospel.
Thank you. If you are able, let's stand. We want to read the scripture this morning, and out of respect for the Bible, we are going to we want to stand this morning. Let me say a couple of things for those in our church. Our fellas football team won their league championship again on Friday. That's 3 out of 4 years and back to back. So let's give them a hand. We have a visiting missionary, the McDaniel family, right here. Why don't you raise your hand? They're in town. They came by. They're missionaries to the Navajo people. So get to know them afterwards. I didn't get to say hi, but I'll say hi to you afterwards. Matthew chapter 16 in our church. Matthew chapter 16, our theme this year has been Lift Him Up. So we've talked much about Christ. By the way, Jesus just isn't a marketing tool, a marketing campaign. I think sometimes that happens. What would Jesus do and all that? Our series is what we've been speaking about for a few weeks is what did Jesus say? Okay? I want to know what he was telling me to do and how he can help me. And I want to look at something that would apply to us today. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 13 and we'll read to verse 17 and then we'll pray and be seated. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, which would be Elijah, and others Jeremias, which would be Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless our few minutes together this morning. Pray, Father, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would all be confronted with this question that all of us need to answer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus had taken his disciples into a place called Caesarea Philippi, that is north of Galilee. And here he asked the disciples a question. He's trying to gauge them. He's trying to see where they're at. And also he wanted to use it to teach them. Questions can be crucial to prodding us and individuals to think about an important subject. Someone has said, you know, there are no dumb questions. I remember when I was in fifth grade, I went to Bret Hart School in North Long Beach, and there was a baseball player. He wasn't a really well-known player. His name was Bob Bailey. Anybody remember Bob Bailey? He played in the 60s for the Pirates. He was born in Long Beach and went he went all the way up through high school in Long Beach. And so I think my teacher knew him. So he happened to be in town, so she had a little assembly just for our class with Bob Bailey, the baseball player, and I knew him at that time. And she said, anybody have a question for Bob? And to this day, I don't know why I asked this question. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck, although I can be a smart aleck. I wasn't, and I thought, I want to ask a question. I raised my hand, and he said, yes, young man. You know, they were all asking questions, you know, Bob, how did you get into baseball? You know, what kind of bat do you use? And you know, do you enjoy? Did you win the World Series? All that stuff. And I'm like, I have a question. He goes, yes, young man. I said, if you're chewing gum and you get hit by a baseball and you choke to death, whose fault is it? I have no idea why I asked that. And he gave me this look like, and then I looked at my teacher and she gave me a look too like, wait till he leaves. I think he said, I don't know. I was like, okay, thanks, Bob. But questions usually have a little more meaning than that. Jesus is going to ask the disciples a very important question. He said, whom do people say that I am? Hey, what are people saying about me? Who do they think that I am? Many had heard of him in society in which he lived because of the things he was doing. Many had come to see him to try to figure out for themselves just what was going on. Some people heard that here's this guy that says interesting things, and so they came, they wanted to hear what he had to say. Some came because at that time, Israel was under Roman domination. Rome was the world ruling power at that time. And really, some of the Jews were looking for someone that would come in and help them to overthrow the Roman government so that they could be a sovereign nation again. And I'm sure that's why they came. There was a time when they came and they wanted to force him to be a king. Many came because they were curious. They wanted to see him perform a miracle, heal somebody, do something miraculous. But for whatever reason they came, Jesus was well known. So the disciples answer the question and say, some think that you are John the Baptist. In other words, they thought Jesus, John the Baptist's spirit somehow was raised from the dead and was put into Jesus. Some thought that he was Elijah. Elijah was is a great prophet that was prophesied in the Old Testament that would come and help prepare the way, which really, in a way, was fulfilled by John the Baptist. Elijah was a fearless prophet, a guy who could call down fire from heaven. That could come in handy, okay? Others thought that he was the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a bold prophet who stood for the truth, but he was also very compassionate. He was called the weeping prophet. Jesus possessed these qualities that they were all known for, but Jesus was different. So after they come back and say, well, here's who people are saying you are, and I'm sure they may have compared him to other prophets also, then he kind of narrows it down. He says, yes, but who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? Who am I to you? Now, if you know anything in the Bible, Peter always is the first to kind of chip in. Peter just kind of goes for it right off the bat. And so Peter just steps up right away. And he says the correct answer. He goes, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter nailed it. Got it right. You know, there's much confusion about Jesus today, as there was back then. Many people say many different things about him. You would have a hard time in our country finding someone, if you want to talk to them about Jesus, to say, "Who's that? I don't know who you're talking about." Now, that's not true around the world, but that's true in our country. They've all heard of him. Most people, most of you understand the facts of Jesus. "Oh, I know Jesus. He's the one that was born on Christmas Day." Yeah, that's what Christmas is all about. It's his birthday, but we get all the gifts. Not against that. "Oh, I understand. He's the one that was nailed to the cross and he was crucified. That Jesus." Or they know Easter. "He's the one that we celebrate Easter. You know, he rose from the dead. That Jesus." But to be honest with you, those really are nothing more than a bunch of facts. But do we really know Jesus? Do we really know him? Ask someone who their favorite athlete is, or their favorite, you know, actor or singer or whatever. Oh, they know about that person. "Oh, I know so-and-so," and they'll give you all the facts about him. "He hit, you know, he has this many home runs or this many touchdowns." Or "they sing this song," or "they were in this movie." We know those type of facts. But the fact of the matter is, if you know someone that's famous in that way, you don't really know who they are, though. You don't know their life. You don't really know anything about them. All you know is what you hear that's nothing more than hearsay. We don't really know them intimately and personally. But Jesus isn't like that. We can know Jesus. We can know him in a close, intimate, personal way. And he's left us a record of who he is. So this morning, I want us to look at Jesus in the few minutes we have left. I want us to look at a couple things. First of all, I want you to, when we look at Jesus, I want you to look at what do others say about him? What's the word on the street? What are other people saying about him? Well, the answer is different depending on who you listen to. There are many varying beliefs about Jesus. According to a recent Barna poll, 92% of Americans believe that Jesus was a real person and that he did actually exist. 56% say they believe that Jesus was God. Now, I don't understand this. 52% in that same poll said that they do believe Jesus committed sins while he lived on this earth. Now, I'm not good at math, but I understand if 56% said that, and then 50% said he was God, and 52 say he sinned, there are some that say they believe he was God, and yet he sinned. I think they're confused. Many famous people have their opinions about Jesus. Let me give you a few. Mike Tyson, the world-renowned, wonderful, very moral boxer, said, "I think Jesus would have a drink with me. He would be cool. He would talk to me." That's profound. Mikhail Gorbachev, the former leader of the Russian Soviet Union, said Jesus was the first socialist, the first to seek a better life for mankind. John Lennon, by the way, I'm not a fan. "I believe in God, but not as one thing, not as an old man in the sky. I believe what people call God is something in all of us. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just the translations have got it wrong." By the way, as you read this, I want you to understand something. People try to mold Jesus into their image. Okay? The translations aren't wrong, but if you listen to what they all said, they all said different things, so they can't all be right. Brad Pitt, in an interview talking about why he left religion, said this: I didn't understand this idea of a God who says, "You have to acknowledge me. You have to say that I'm the best, and then I'll give you eternal happiness. If you won't, then you don't get it." It seemed to be about ego, and he's speaking about Jesus specifically here. "I can't see God operating from ego, so it made no sense to me." And then Richard Dawkins, a very famous atheist, he's called an angry atheist because he thinks that if a person believes in God, not only are they wrong, they're dangerous. That's what he believes. Here's what he says. Oh, but of course the story of Adam and Eve was only ever symbolic, wasn't it? Symbolic. So Jesus had himself tortured and executed for a symbolic sin by a non-existent individual, speaking of God. Nobody not brought up in the faith could reach any verdict other than barking mad. Many people said unkind things about Jesus. Many people in the Bible said unkind things about Jesus. Some, if you read in Matthew a few verses earlier than where we were at, say he was nothing more than a cohort of Jesus. The Pharisees said, this fellow does cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Some thought he was crazy. Some accused him of just flat out lies. Many religions have their beliefs about Jesus. Some people do believe that Jesus never existed. It's just nothing more than a myth. It's a fairy tale. It's something that somebody made up, and it kind of caught on many years ago. That's what we would call a skeptic. They say he doesn't exist. Or they change the way he's portrayed. By the way, I'm not a fan of these. It seems popular nowadays that Hollywood's making all these Bible-based movies, but they have no basis in truth. They steer directly away from the stories of the Bible, so I don't really put much in there. It's made and written by men who don't believe the Bible. They're just trying to make a good story. Some believe that Jesus was a good man, that he did good things just like other people in our times have done to help people and to be very helpful, and he was just a good man. Some believe that he was a prophet, that he spoke for God, no different than other people who have spoke for God. Some believe he was a moral man, that his teachings teach us about morality and how we're supposed to live our lives. Some believe he was just a good teacher sharing truths that people needed to hear. That's what people say. If you listen to all those different things, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up being confused. What does Jesus and the Bible say about him? Jesus spoke about who he was. The Bible spoke about who he was. The Bible talks about him as a person. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you look at John and you hear those words, in the beginning, remind you of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the world. And it says here that Jesus was the Word. Now, if you read down, it says very implicitly, and it says, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus was God. In verse 14 of John, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this Word that was with God and this Word that was God and this Word that helped create the world, just like Genesis chapter 1, says that Word became flesh. He became a man. That is what Christmas is all about. That's the time that God took the form of human flesh. 2 Corinthians, he was a perfect individual. Says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was perfect. No, he wasn't God and also a sinner, as some people in that little survey said. He was perfect. Never sinned. And by the way, that's important. We'll speak about that in a minute. But Jesus describes himself, and here it is. Jesus in John 14:6, the girls alluded to it in one of the songs. I think it was may have been Karina's song. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Now, I struggled in school, period. Okay, never did graduate. But I really struggled in English. I really did. When I went to Bible college, went off to college, you had to take an English course. You had to test to get into the English course, and I failed. And I had to take non-credit English 3 times to get through it, okay? So I struggle with English. I do get this. He says, I am the way. I'm not a brain surgeon, but I know that means there's only one. The one. The way. I am the truth. One. I am the life. One. There's not a bunch of them. You say, well, I don't think that's what he's saying. Okay, well, then he finishes up. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, there you have it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus made claims about himself. And there's no way we can get around that. Not only does the Bible and Jesus tell us about who he is and as a person, it tells us what his purpose was. John 10:10, the end of the verse says, I am come, Jesus speaking, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He didn't just come to this earth because he was God on a vacation to visit his created beings. He had a very specific reason for coming. He was coming so that we could have life, and not just have life, but have it more abundantly. That's why he is the life. You see, mankind has a horrible, horrible problem. We're all sinners. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't a sinner. The sin nature is passed down through the man in the relationship. Jesus Christ did not have a father. That's why he says he was born of a virgin. That's why that's a big deal. And when he was born, he was all God, but he was all flesh, and he never sinned. We're sinners, though. The Bible makes that very clear. Say, well, that's condemning. That's not condemning. It's truthful. Say, you just called me a sinner. No, I didn't. I called all of us sinners. Okay? That's what happens. All have sinned, Romans tells us, and come short of the glory of God. But you know, not to be a bummer, but it gets worse. The wages of sin is death. Jesus was a sinless man. He wasn't under that condemnation of death. So he could pay the price for our sin. That was the purpose in his coming. Jesus didn't get away from the cross because he wasn't fast enough. He didn't have enough firepower. His scouts didn't get out there fast enough to figure out what was the safest way to get out of town. Jesus, that's why he came. He came very specifically to die for our sins. Now, let's boil this down. What options do we have? If I ask you the question, who do you say Jesus is? I'm going to tell you this, you only have 3 options. People try to give themselves more options, but there isn't. We got to think this through. This is not original with me. This is a very famous outline from somebody else, but it's true. Say, well, who's Jesus to you? The options, oh, he's just a good teacher. He's just a moral guy. He's just a good man. He was just another prophet. Okay. But here's your options. Number one, he's a liar. He's a liar. Many make claims about Jesus, as we have shown, but they don't match up with what he says about himself. See, we can't say, well, he's just a good teacher because Jesus never claimed to be a good teacher. We can't just say he's another prophet because he didn't just claim to be another prophet. We just can't say he's a moral man because he didn't just claim to be a moral man. And John Lennon, you're wrong. He's not just like Muhammad or Buddha or any other religious leader because he didn't claim just to be like them. He made claims that were higher than that. So we don't have a right to believe those. We have to believe he is either who he said he is or he is a liar. If Brother Chim says something about himself and I say, well, I don't believe that, but I believe it's something else, he made that claim. That's either who he is or he's a liar. We don't believe that Jesus is something that he doesn't claim. We can't believe that Jesus is something that he didn't claim to be. So if you don't have the same belief system about who Jesus is as he said he is, then you have to say he's a liar. Now, you don't want to take that step. No one wants to take that step. But that's okay. Jesus didn't give us that option. That's why it's a very penetrating question. Or he's a lunatic. He's nuts. In other words, he was saying these things because he was crazy. By the way, the Bible doesn't just say he is God. Jesus said he was God. I think it's John chapter 8. Because when he got done, they took up stones to kill him. They understood what he said. They understood he said he was God. And they're like, we're going to kill you for that. He'd have to be crazy. There's a guy I read. His name is David Shaler. Lives in England. He used to be a high, kind of not a spy, but a type of agent for the British government. And then he kind of lost his mind. He now says that he is Jesus, a modern-day reincarnation of Christ. He claims he has supernatural powers, that he can control football scores. Obviously, he's not a Raiders fan or a Rams fan or the Chargers. Hey, we're going to get a football team, and guess what? It's just like they're just like the two that left, okay? Not much different. He says he can affect the weather. Someone needs to call him so we can cool this thing down here. It's November. I guess no one got the memo. And even he could stop terrorist threats. But he also admits that he uses marijuana. Must be from Oregon. But you know what? He's a transvestite, cross-dresser. He's homeless. He lives as a squatter on government property in Britain, and no one follows him. What a shock. Because you know what? We look at that man in pity and say, he's not Jesus. He's got mental issues. Well, you know what? Jesus said he was God. So if we don't believe that, he's either purposely lying or he's crazy if he really believes it. Those are our options. But there's another option. It could be he's right. It could just be he is the Lord. You see, no regular human individual could ever die for the sins of another. To pay for the sins of another human. Because we all have our own sins. Oh, I could die for Brother Machado. Don't hold your breath. If someone came in here and said, I'm going to kill that guy, I could say, Brother Pineda will take his place. Easier to replace the song leader than it is the Filipino pastor. But you know what? I could say, I'll die for this guy. But you know what? It's not going to change his sinful nature or mine. I'm paying for my own sins. But see, Jesus was God in the flesh, and he was perfect, so he never sinned. So when he died on that cross, he was not dying for his sins. He didn't have any. He was paying the price for the sins for us. That's why it was very important that he was sinless. Maybe he is just the Lord. You say, why does this all matter? I'm going to tell you why it matters. And both of the songs dealt with it. Because our eternal destiny rests on it. By the way, we are called Christians, named after Christ. And I unashamedly believe in Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? I do. You're bigoted. I'm not bigoted. I just believe that he wasn't a liar. I believe that he wasn't crazy. And I do believe that he is who he said he is. And I settled that on an Easter Sunday, 1978. I was 2 years old. Just kidding. I wish I was 2 years old. A high school punk there because a friend of mine, Joe Esposito, invited me to come on Easter Sunday. I met Jesus Christ. I knew who he was. I'd just been avoiding him. I choose to say that he is the Lord. So we're done, but let me just personalize this. He asked the disciples, who does everybody say that I am? They told him. He said, now who do you guys think I am? And Peter chirped in first and said, I believe You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let me ask you the question today. Who do you say he is? You only have three options. You see, we don't have the right to make God in our own image. If the Bible be true, and it is, if Jesus is who he says he is, I believe he is, we don't have any other option. We can't say, no, I believe Jesus with this, but I don't go that far. You can't. You can say that, but you're not being intellectually ethical. He didn't give us that option. Okay? Who do you say he is? You say, well, I don't think he's a liar. Okay? I don't think he's a lunatic. I believe he is who he says he is. Then do you realize that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and have you accepted him as your Savior? You see, it's more than a mental ascent. Yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, I get all that. Okay, but do you believe he died for you? Do you believe that he's the only way? Have you put your complete trust in what he said? There's a time. The Bible calls that being born again. We don't use that term anymore. We used to use it back in the, other people used to use it back in the 70s, early 80s. Born again Christian. What does that mean? There was a specific time that I put my trust in Christ. I was born again on Easter Sunday, 1978. Have you made that decision? What choice are you going to make? Bible makes it fairly clear. Let me read a couple verses and we're done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight means straight as in narrow. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. You say, you know, the Bible is a pretty narrow-minded book. It's not that it's narrow-minded, it's that we choose not to listen to it. The option's for everybody. But it is pretty narrow in the choices when it means to come to heaven. You see, no, I believe in the big scale theory. I believe we're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to have a scale, and on this side, he's going to throw all of our good works, and on this side, he's going to throw all of our bad works. And if our good works outweigh our bad works, we go to heaven. If our bad works outweigh our good works, we go to hell. Man, I don't want to wait until then to find out. But let me say this. I believe in the scale. But here's how the scale works. One sin is heavier than all the good you could ever do in your entire life. That's what the Bible says. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. You're our friends. We love you. We're glad you're here. But I want to tell you the truth about Jesus. One sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then John 3:36, it's pretty simple. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. As I mentioned before, I didn't grow up in church. You know, I it's funny, I was scared of church. We would, if we were walking down the street, we were walking in front of a church, I made sure I didn't cuss in front of the church. Now right next to it, right past it, that was open territory. But man, I was just something about, hey, it's church, we can't cuss. Okay? I just didn't do it. I just didn't grow up. The only time, first time I went to church, I was in fifth grade, and they were offering candy. And I went to Sunday school class, and I was the biggest brat you ever saw. Disrupted the teacher, disrupted the class, never went back. But I'm glad there was a day that a friend of mine invited me and I met Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't want to make that decision right now. Then the answer is no. For all practical purposes. Your options are, yes, I want to choose Christ, or no, I don't want to choose Christ, or I'll wait, which means no, I'm not choosing Christ. Well, maybe in the future. The future's not promised. What's the right answer? Peter gave it right off the bat. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the question isn't who is Jesus to the world? The question is, who is Jesus to you? Let's pray this morning.